the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Busy hour on tap. Game 3, Stanley Cup Final coming up. Bottom of the hour, Stanford Steve, ESPN and SportsCenter. They've been at the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that in the U.S. Open. Weekend betting takeaways from us. And we'll begin here in this hour with a little Major League Baseball. Did get some breaking news, big news to me anyway, about an hour or so ago in baseball that the Red Sox finally did it, Pauly. They finally made the decision to call up outfielder Roman Anthony.
Well,
he is the best prospect in baseball.
If you were on the fence, maybe the 500-foot grand slam maybe put him over the top.
That was okay.
I need to do it.
That was a decent home run over the weekend. So he dropped to about 18-1 to win the American League Rookie of the Year. I'll say this. Everybody made a big deal out of Caglione, who was called up last week by the Royals. You got a huge hole, man, because I got Noah Cameron at a huge number. He's still 50-1. We got to dig ourselves out of this massive hole because Jacob Wilson is absolutely raking for the A's.
Yep. 461, 12 ribbies last 19 games. You can jump right back on his props today.
Mm-hmm.
Two total bases, $1.10. Can you believe this? He delivers and all. What? Sick. That's stupid.
He's betting 500 in the last week.
Yeah.
So I'll have more on that game coming up in a bit. As for the Red Sox, that's the shot. You know, oh boy, they took 2 out of 3 against the Yankees over the weekend and they get them again this week. That is no good for my Yankees most wins in June bet. They were looking good, cruising along, and the Red Sox absolutely rocked Carlos Rodon last night.
Yep.
So you have that Sunday Night Baseball angle where they're playing again tonight. They take on the Rays. Rays are blazing hot at this point. Here's something to keep in mind. And part of the write-up today at VSiN.com on Brian Bello is that he has a 3.91 ERA, but he's due for some regression. The FIP is 4.81. He's walking 4.7 batters per nine. And he's backed up by Red Sox offense that averages 5.2 runs per game, second in the league. Baz has allowed at least 3 runs in 6 out of his last 7 starts. He's allowing 1.8 home runs and 3.2 walks per nine innings. They were making the case for the over in the game tonight between the Red Sox and the Rays.
What a run. Tampa 14-4. Best record in baseball going back. Number one in runs. Number one in runs allowed. This came out of nowhere.
I know it.
And I don't mind the over, but also Baz has good numbers against Boston and struck out 11 guys in April in one of the meetings.
Something to keep in mind here, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bayo under his K-prop is worth a look. He is not striking out a lot of guys, and he is going under his K-prop a lot. That's been a recent run now for, I think, like the last 7 or 8 starts for him. And now you look up at the standings. I never really even gave the Rays a thought.
No.
I did Will Hill's podcast, Should Have Bet More, last week, and we were talking about like the 6 playoff teams in each league. I don't even think we brought up the Rays. And now they're 35-30 because of this hot run. And
You ever think about the Blue Jays, too?
We kicked around the Blue Jays, but I can't take them seriously. I'm not taking them seriously, but maybe I need to.
Yeah. Two great stories.
And I guess in the American League, why can't they make it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's that, but I can't wait to see what's going to happen here with Anthony. I do not have a ticket on him to win the American League Rookie of the Year. But for those of you who do, hope he gets off to a blazing start for you.
Tampa's on a great run, and then you have Atlanta. What has happened? They've lost 7 in a row and 14 of 17. You're taking on a hot Milwaukee team that's won 10 of 13. But the conundrum here is Sale, who's got a 1.63 in the last 9. He's been awesome, but it's like Skeens. No run support, pitching lights out, but losing games. So this is an interesting year where if you want to take Milwaukee, but then again, Sale's been so good, but the Braves have been awful and can't win a game. I never thought I'd see Atlanta play this bad and this poorly, 14 to 17.
It's been a long time, right?
Yep.
I did look at Sale's K-prop tonight. I was hoping they would make it 6.5. Unfortunately, it's 7.5, and to me, there's a big difference between those two numbers. He is on a 6-1 overrun with his prop in order, 10, 10, 8-8. 6 was the under, 8 and 10. So he's going over 7.5 in a lot of these games. The Brewers also, they don't strike out a ton against left-handed pitching. So 6.5 would have been an auto play. 7.5, I think I'm going to pass on it, though, with him tonight.
Okay.
You mentioned the Blue Jays then.
Best record since May 28th, and they've won 9 of 11.
Isn't this something?
It is. It's a wild season, no doubt.
So it's Berríos against Pallante. Opposing pitchers are 9-1 under their K-prop against the Blue Jays, and the Cardinals in the first 5, last 17 games, they're 4-10-3. I believe this was from Adam Burke today on vsin.com. Over the last 14 days, Toronto has a 342 WOBA against righties, seventh overall, and they have only an 11.7% K rate in that split. So they're doing a really good job of putting balls in play, and as he points out, they're also doing so with authority. And after over the last 14 days, the Blue Jays bullpen has a 1.76 ERA and a 2.8 FIP. So they've been great, and another angle to consider here with Toronto maybe in this game against the Cardinals.
Yep, and the Pallante is case is 3.5 under minus 160 with Toronto fewest case. No mind, I don't think he's going to strike out four guys. No way. Atlanta's been bad. How about Philly? What is this? You see this coming? They got swept in Pittsburgh. They can't hit. They've lost 9 of 10, 5 in a row, and 4 of the games. They scored exactly one run.
I did
not see
this coming.
What the hell's going on here?
No. How much does Bryce Harper really mean to the team? Like this much?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they're in a funk. You got your right guy going with Wheeler. His wife just had a bun out of the oven, but this is...
He missed a start as a result.
Yep, but Cubbies are hot. Do you trust Boyd? Phillies can't hit. Wheeler at home, $1.30.
Yeah. So I went back and looked today. You know, this has been a thing for a minute with Wheeler at home. Matt Vasgersian brought this up with us from MLB Network. I think it was like 2 years ago. He's like, specifically when he's pitching during the daytime, it's unfortunately not a day game today, but he goes, Wheeler at home has been the nuts pretty much. But at home in his career with Philadelphia, that's 73 games. He has a 2.65 ERA. The FIP is below 3. Almost 10 Ks per 9, a 28% K rate. The whip is below 1, and the hard hit rate is at 26%. I mean, those are Hall of Fame numbers, basically, when he's at home. I don't know, but you're right, Paul, with their current form and how the offense is in this funk, I don't really want to back him by laying $1.45. Cubs are, you know, they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Yep. I trust Cleveland, $1.60 at home. Miley had an ERA of 9 in the minors. Santana's hitting .467 against Miley in his career.
Very
nice.
That's
a prop you can play. Trout's hitting .444 against Springs. It's supposed to be Springs for the A's tonight against Kikuchi. And how do you trust May on the road? The first what's going on with the schedule? The first meeting between the Dodgers and Padres of the season is tonight.
Oh, that means it's backloaded, which is going to be great later on.
They meet 7 in the next 10, but in the first meeting since the Dodgers took them out in 5. And they shut down San Diego's offense. Pavetta, 1-1 with a 1.78 last 5 against the Dodgers. He's a dog at home to me.
All right, so this is the guy I was talking about before the break. At home, 1.69 with the ERA, only 2 home runs allowed, and that is in more than 37 innings pitched so far this year. Tremendous numbers. The ERA goes to 4.94 with 5 home runs in 31 innings on the road, and May has a 4.09 ERA. Mm-hmm. More than one home run and 3.5 walks per 9 innings. And they go up, actually, when he's on the road. And the Dodgers have been, the bullpen's been bad, especially in recent days. And then you have a couple of matchups as well tonight. Machado, 3 home runs in his career against May with 6 RBIs. Manny Machado's last 7 days, he's batting .393 with 3 home runs and 6 RBIs and a stolen base. In his career against May, he's 7 of 30 with a double and 2 home runs. When you look at players for the Dodgers tonight against Pavetta, small sample size here for Ohtani, but he's 4 of 12 with 2 home runs. And the guy that I targeted was Freddie Freeman, 12 of 36, okay. 3 doubles, a triple, a home run. I played minus 110 over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. By the way, for what it's worth, both teams have been bad lately in the first 5. Dodgers on a 1-6-1 run in the first 5. Padres 5-12-5 last 22 games. And here is somebody who has been sneaky good with the K prop. It's the Mariners on the road taking on the Diamondbacks. I'll give you this first of all. Marte's last 7 days, blazing hot. 8 of 24 home runs. Opposing starting pitchers are on a 10-3 under run with their K prop against Arizona. They're not striking out. They're like one of the best teams at not K'ing in all of baseball. D-backs in the first 5, last 22 games are 13-5-4. And Merrill Kelly, I'm not going to call him a sleeping giant with the K prop, but he's been great. You're going to find out why. 6 straight games over his K prop. Tonight, 5.5. Starters are on a 7-3 run over the Mariners. and the M's strike out 23.3% of the time, eighth most. And in a lot of these games, by the way, that Merrill Kelly has pitched in the last six starts, he has absolutely annihilated his K prop, meaning that if it was 4.5, he's not just getting 5. He's, for the most part, he is blown by the K prop in a lot of those starts. 5.5 now tonight with a reasonable juice might be worth a bet.
Raleigh home run prop?
Well, my God. At this point, I didn't even look at the number because he's...
That low?
Yeah. It's going to be Aaron Judge territory now.
Trying to set the record. Javi Lopez, most multi-home run games for a catcher in a season. 8. Piazza, 6. Raleigh trying to... Look how many he has already.
What does he have?
I think he's got 4 or 5 already. What wow. He's done? Yeah, absolutely. And Eury Pérez goes from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Pirates keep this going? It's his first start in 628 days off Tommy John. Bucko's $1.20 at home. Another one for you. I got to go. I got to ride the Pirates, reluctantly. Introducing the $500 try from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open the G-Bank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 to trigger the $500 try. You get $200 from G-Bank. First Bet gives you a $100 match, and you get the VSiN Pro sub through August 31st for $200 value. There's your $500 try. Limited to customers opening a new account. Response to this offer apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Get it now.
I'll expand on another prop you want to consider tonight in Major League Baseball and the Stanley Cup with reasonable juice. That's next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We briefly mentioned this game in the previous segment. Baseball card tonight. A's playing at the Angels. It's Springs against Kikuchi. First of all, Joe Adell's last 7 days, 409, 4 home runs, 5 RBIs, and a stolen base. Very good. Lawrence Butler, 12 of 28, 6 doubles, a home run, 5 RBIs. He's like seemingly going over his total base prop in every game.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilson, again, has just been fantastic.
You got to repeat it. You got to run it down again, what he's doing.
Wilson?
Yeah.
I got him 13 of 26 in the last 7 days, a home. That's 500, obviously. Seven.
Okay.
6 RBIs, 3 doubles, and a home run.
I got 461 last 19.
Oh, man.
12 RBIs.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, can anybody beat him? If he plays the whole year, like, will a Roman Anthony or a Caglione catch him in the American League Rookie of the Year?
No.
He's got two, like, unbelievable. By the way,
almost July. I mean, come on.
I know. And I know Judge is batting like 398 or whatever it is today. That Wilson's second behind him.
Yeah.
Like 360.
Mm-hmm.
What if he leads the American League in batting this year?
Yeah. Another good point.
You know?
Absolutely.
So Kikuchi's last 4 games. And we talked about this last week when he was also going. 5 walks, 5 walks, 4 walks, and 4 walks. He leads all of Major League Baseball with 5.17 walks per 9. That's a grand total of 40 walks on the year over 69.2 innings pitched. Not so nice. It's 2.5 tonight. You can find like plus 130. Paul, do we bet it on principle? Or are you like me, maybe getting scared away a little bit? Because I looked at the A's K or the walk rate today. They just don't walk a lot. They're like one of the lowest walking teams in all of baseball.
It goes back to your, when you say trust the numbers, though.
I know.
With the Gore, you trust the Kikuchi numbers.
That he's so bad that it doesn't matter who he's facing, they're going to get, yeah. His control is so awful.
Yeah.
I think plus 130 is probably worth a bet there, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything with Caminero?
He's
another one.
He was
20,
really
20 RBIs, 16 extra base hits last 16. We're talking about him every day.
I know.
Every day what he's doing.
Maybe because Bayo, again, numbers. I don't like Bayo.
Okay.
Not this year anyway.
Okay. But that's, I don't mind Tampa in that spot off the big Sunday night
sure.
win and after that series as well. DraftKings has most shots on goal for the game. That's good. Connor's the favorite, plus 450. Draisaitl 6-1, Bennett plus 650, Reinhardt 10-1. What did someone send us in? I forgot to put it up there. He lost a big ticket. He needed one more shot from
Oh my God,
from
I couldn't
Bennett.
Even, the ticket was so big, I couldn't even tell you how many people were on it. And it paid, I think it was like 590-1. He needed one more shot from Bennett to go over.
At what point of the game? Do you know? I thought it was like he needed it like second period. And he didn't get it second, third period or overtime.
Okay.
Is that how I read it? Did I read it wrong?
I did not pay attention to that part of it. All I know is that was the one of many, many players who already cashed, and that was the one loser.
Yeah. I would imagine you're killing the sports books.
Well, I mean, so far for his two games, absolutely.
There's so many shots, and the games are going to overtime and double overtime.
Right. So the only guy who did it for you in game one was Kane.
That was a 42-1 quick pick. Yes.
And then
I missed it by one.
And then Bennett was the only one who did it in game two. Much everybody else. And by the way, if you're laddering, these props are also like cashing.
Yeah. So then William Hill looked at this, and I know a lot of people at Caesars had some tickets up there, and Caesars themselves tweeted out a guy with like a $9,000 ticket. They removed a couple guys and then they put Nurse in. And then I got scared off Nurse because I don't know about it, but then Nurse went over too.
Yeah. Right.
So I would think almost everyone went over other than Bennett in game two. Between of all the activity, shots, and the length of the game. That's another question, too, let me ask you. Because the Bob situation's sticky. Okay, so how many goals does he give up? Are there any soft goals? Or you just say, well, who cares? He gave up four goals. He had 45 saves, whatever it is. And he kept them in there, and they were outshot in the overtime, or whatever it may be.
Are you saying about getting him yanked?
No, Conn Smythe.
I think it's a Conn
Smythe discussion. Because still, I'm reading ESPN, and they're still strong on his case about look how many saves, look what he did, even though he gave up four, and then you factor in the whole body of work, which Bob's been impressive, but I'm on the other side where I think in the pecking order, Bennett's ahead of him for
Conn Smythe. Well, don't we have to, and what's the history of the Conn Smythe overall? Does the results overall in the Stanley Cup, does it outweigh? I get it. It's the entire playoffs. But if Bob's going to allow three or four shots, goals every single game, how does that not supersede the three previous series? Especially if Bennett continues to score.
Well, I know, but if you give up three, but they get 48 shots on goal, it's a different ball game. It's not like, Anderson, who was giving up one or two and it's only 18 shots.
Right, right. I think at this point, though, you just have to look at Bennett's numbers and say, hold on a second here. He's leading every single skater in goals, and he's leading right now. Tied for the lead anyway.
Road record, yeah.
Of course.
Set the record on the road, yeah.
So that's going to have to outweigh. And they're playing in high-scoring games. Yeah, that's a big deal then to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
got to go Bob over saves again, 26.5, as we talked about. Edmonton's averaging more than 31 a game in the last 16. The Ekholm block prop shot, very popular. Jonathan Davis likes it. Dennis Bernstein loves it. It's 1.5. Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal. It's $1.70. Don't pay the juice if you win. They tinkered around today, and the quick pick at Will Hill is Nugent Hopkins 1.5, Reinhardt 2.5, McDavid 3.5, Tkachuk and Draisaitl 2.5. It's 12-1.
Mm.
That's what they put up today for the shots on goal quick pick.
I'm glad that you found that shots on goal leader at DraftKings. How about a couple of other guys a little bit down the board? Will this continue with Bouchard? He leads everybody with 15 shots on goal so far in the two games. Over 2.5 tonight was minus 110 earlier in the day. And Evan Bouchard right now is 10-1 to have the most shots on goal in the game tonight. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's 10-1. And a guy like for the Panthers, well, first of all, Marchand is 19-1. He leads all Florida players with 10 at this point. And Reinhardt is plus 950. He's got 9. He's one back. Why not take a peek at Bouchard, Marchand, or Reinhardt?
Not bad.
With the way it's been trending so far in the series. How about, did you know that Nate Schmidt leads every Florida player in points?
I can't believe that. I can't believe it.
He's got 4 assists. There you go.
Yep.
He's the team leader.
Is he a Minnesota guy? Is he St. Cloud? Is he my neck of the woods?
How would you not know that? What'd you know?
I know. I thought I read that.
Christ, he played here with the Golden Knights for a ton of years.
I know. It goes, yeah. Trying to think. I think he's one of us, if I forget.
You're very proud to be from
there. Yeah, he was born in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Is that where he went to college?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, but born. Yeah. I can't believe we didn't cross paths. We're from the same place.
Stunning, seeing as how you never go back there, and he's 15 years younger.
Yes, right. Oh, he went to University of Minnesota. Oh, my God, he went to St. Cloud Cathedral. They were our rivals. They were the Catholic school.
You would hate him then.
Absolutely. Man, we had the Tech Tigers, right? Tech Tigers, that's when we won, and I turned my goalie stick and...
Yeah, you pretended to do a sexual act on the crowd.
I can't believe, I can't say on air what my mom said after I told her I got suspended. I wish we were back on the old days. You went to St. Cloud Cathedral, son of a gun. I can't believe it. Ah.
Oh, you got to despise the guy now.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like him. You can't root for him.
Yeah, good for him. Mm. Yeah. Well, they Rodney King me. They videotaped. Some fan videotaped it when I...
You got the daylights beaten out of you?
Someone iced the puck from the opposing team as the game ended, and it was 4-1 us. Good guys.
Yeah.
And then they zoomed in on me as I was stroking the goalie stick.
Having fun with the hockey stick, huh?
Yeah. And I got suspended. Mm. Unbelievable. You're a good sport. Sorry.
For what?
No.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
How old is Nate Schmidt? He can't be much
33.
More. 33. Is he 33? I was going to say, would you cross? I know.
Young fellow. Okay. Isn't that much on top, though? Looks like he's 50, no hair.
Well, that happens to some of us.
I know. Bad beat.
I think Florida wins a series, though. I think
Edmonton missed their opportunity.
I hope I'm wrong.
I know. I'm rooting for Canada and McDavid, too. But you got, that's a killer. And now I just... Where's your level of trust here with Skinner now?
I never trusted him like you did.
That's not getting enough attention. That is a horrific goal. To give up in a double overtime game where the guy, like Dennis said, fanned on it. He lost control of the puck because the defenseman lifted his stick up. And the thing's sliding. It's like curling. Thing's barely moving and it goes in. Oh, that's demoralizing.
Yeah, I know.
He can bounce back. I know.
I'm surprised that you're not stronger on the turnover that led to the shorthanded goal.
Yeah, I know.
The whole thing was Mickey Mouse.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And I thought Skinner allowing that one to go through the five hole too was just, oh my God, man, you got to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they.
You got to hold your nose, though, if you like the under. I know we've talked about the bad ice and what happened last year. But they're coming out flying so far in this series.
I know.
The first that's 2-1 almost, that goal in the first five, which is cast in the first couple games. So
I mean,
first 10, first five, first period over, and then we'll see how they call it as well. I'm with Dennis. I think I'm more inclined to say they're going to swallow the whistle here after 14 penalties in game two.
Did you like the first period of game two?
I did. I didn't have a you thought it was
– All those goals, but I mean, Jesus,
power
man.
Power plays?
Please – Yeah, put away the whistle for 2 seconds, please.
Yeah, I see both sides.
Stanford Steve, ESPN on the program coming up next. Been at the NBA Finals with SportsCenter. Was the Game 2 result more of what we should expect from the series? We'll ask him coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
All right, so two games in the books now. NBA Finals had Game 2 last night. And that was mostly dominance by Oklahoma City from the end of the first quarter to the end of the game, I thought anyway. And we head out here to the Progressive Guest Line at Stanford. Steve is kind enough to join us here on a Monday afternoon. He was in OKC along with SVP and SportsCenter for the first two games. He'll be in Indy on Wednesday as well. Steve, good to talk to you as always. How are you today?
Great, boys. I'm just still trying to figure out what day it is. This starting on Thursday. Sunday last night, flying. We're good to go, though. We're good to go.
I'm sure it's kind of a whirlwind. Do you think last night's result is more of what we should expect from the series moving forward?
You know, we spent a lot of time talking post-game, guys, right? Mm-hmm. Just about it's really hard to overreact, right? I mean, everybody had their thoughts going into the series. Then you see what happens in game one, and the game thoroughly dominated until 0.3 seconds, and Haliburton does it. And then you get to game two, which Oklahoma City has done all playoffs. When that happens in a game one, they respond and dominate. But I'm still trying to have – I'm having trouble because neither team has played an A game. Like, the Pacers don't have an A game from anyone. I don't think they have a B-plus game from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this and how OKC did last night, Chet, yeah, he was active last night, right? Game one, he was non-existent. J-Dub, same thing. You know, pretty pedestrian 19. So what's going to happen now? Like, Caruso and Wiggins aren't doing that on the road. I don't see that. And to me, it's all focused on Haliburton. I just don't understand. I mean, I get it. He won the game winner. We're going to talk about the clutch numbers, all that. He has to be better in first half of games. I'm watching the game with Legler, and Legler's just like, look at this, 1-for-5. Five shots and a chance to take over the series. And then the second half, and then bad beat if you had his over total points. I mean, he gets 12 in the fourth quarter. That's a horrific beat. Because if you had the under, you were totally the right side. So I'm really, really interested in Halliburton. I was walking out of the office last night to go do the post game, and the Pacers were right by the Pacers locker room, and Carlisle was not happy. So you saw the post game press conference. He commented on Shea, punched him in for 34, and he went right to his crowd, asking his crowd to bring it. So I expect a frenzy of an atmosphere Wednesday, and I expect Carlisle, being the wizard that he is, to figure out a way to get Halliburton in the paint. And I look at his numbers. I think it's an over game. I think both teams are going to shoot it better. Now you got two games under your belt against both defenses. So I look at a really, really exciting game three.
I agree. I like that second half as well. Another case to play the over in game three. What did Legler expand? Because I'm with him on this, that you have to be more aggressive, and Halliburton has to take more shots.
Well, that's the question. I think he's – I don't – We still, I mean, looking at the tape, it's hard. Like, you know, Anthony Edwards got by OKC, but then what do? They built a wall at the rim. Mm-hmm. You know, we had those games in Minnesota after they won. He couldn't get a shot off at the rim, and he's not going to force it. And Halliburton hasn't even come close to trying to put foot on the gas. And that's the lethalness of that OKC defense, man. They switch up. You know, you got Wallace, you got Dort, you got SGA. I mean, SGA comes out at the end of games for defense. That's how good they are on defense. He's the MVP of the league and a damn good defensive player. He comes out when, you know, in big spots. So I wonder if it's him worried about getting past guys. We see how OKC, you know, went against Indiana picking up Shea as they set that high screen way out towards half court. But that's what I think. Carlisle pulls out all the stops to try and free up Halliburton. You know, Indiana's best quarter was the fourth quarter of game one, and Nembhard had the ball.
Yeah,
Nembhard
that's right.
had the ball the whole quarter. So, I think it's a fascinating chess match with what's going on with those two coaches, and they're two of the best in the league. So, again, I expect Carlisle to unlock Halliburton.
Yeah, as do I. And right now, most books have the point spread at 5.5. There is one book nationally that has 6. Man, that seems like a crazy high number. Like, would you be intrigued by Indy plus the points at that number?
Yeah, I said Indy, Mitch, just because, you know, we've seen an onslaught. You know, we saw Minnesota game three. Denver played well at home against OKC. Mm-hmm. And Indiana, like, you can't focus on the series being 1-1. You've got to get the next one. And that's where I think Carlisle's great at knowing and having that sense of urgency. I did read in the last 8 games in the NBA playoffs, road dogs of 3 or more are 7-1 straight up and 7-1 against the spread. So that made me hesitate by clicking on Indiana plus the points today, but I'm definitely leaning that way.
Well, for an 81-win team, they've been abysmal. They haven't covered a game. They were down 30 at Memphis. They couldn't put away Memphis without Ja. They were pathetic in Denver. Minnesota dropped 140 and 126 on them. It hasn't been the same team on road games.
Yeah, no doubt. But I go back, what was it, game 4 in Denver, I thought was super impressive, the one where Williams made all the shots. And, Paul, I know it's hard, and they won all these 81 games. I'm still slow to go on OKC. Like, they're still that young, man. Like, Chet, you know, this is the NBA Finals. And for that matter, it's Indiana's first. I mean, the only guy everybody talked about going to the series was Siakam, and he's been pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
I thought the Pacers' best guy last night was Miles Turner. You know, so I think both coaches see that. You've got 2 games of tape to look at, and this is where those guys make their money with the little intricacies of who's going to dominate the ball more and, you know, who's going to have the ball in their hands. Where are we going to try and get the ball? Who are we going to try to attack? What situation are we going to go after? That's the best great mental game that we have going to a game 3. I always think game 3s are the toughest because you don't know.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Stanford Steve, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, it's also U.S. Open week. We talked about this a little bit earlier with our bets. I'm attacking it with the big guns, man. I like to look a little bit down the board. Give me somebody in the 40, 50 to 1 range. I'll take a shot with somebody about 80, maybe 100. I haven't gotten there yet this week. I think this tournament's going to be won by an elite golfer. Where are you at with the U.S. Open?
I you know, Scott and I did our podcast today, and that was the main, you know, we brought up Scotty, the idea plus 275. Is it even worth it? And his point was you have to do it because you're going to cover all your long shots and other things, right? That's the way to play it. I don't want any piece of Rory. After seeing Quail Hollow, we discussed all week how was the mindset going to be after getting that career Grand Slam. Was he going to step on the gas and go for the season Grand Slam, or was he going to take a step back and enjoy this thing? And then the thing happens with the driver, and he's just, you know, talked to the media for the first time in a month after everyone praised him for 3 weeks. So I look at guys to miss the cut. There's some good – I think Rory's in the 300s or 240s. I like that. And I look at a guy like Harris English, if you want a guy a little bit down the board. He's as consistent a guy as there is. I love his demeanor. He's played great golf. He's playing well. Played an unbelievable Sunday to T2 or T3 at Quail Hollow. And Scott likes Rom. He thought he saw a lot from him at Quail Hollow with the little bit of fire that Rom had. He's around 10-1. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's tough because, you know, I hear Andy North talk, you know, two-time U.S. Open winner. He's loving what he's seeing because he wants to see those guys sweat out holes. You know, and the biggest thing with the rough, the way it's going to be, you know, it's just one shot. It's just there's no water on the course. But if you go in that rough, count a stroke for it.
90 seconds. So, sorry.
It'll be interesting.
I thought you were done. 90 seconds. So how concerned are you that they're going to screw up the college football playoff?
Not concerned. For the love of the game, Paulie. Come on now. We got to focus on the positive.
What?
We got to be on the positive. Come on.
What, are you serious? What are you talking about?
What? You want to go back to the BCS in two teams?
You want 16? You want four auto bids? You want 5 plus 11?
If you're good at it, yeah, sure. Give it to me. More football. How great was last year's regular season? Nothing took away from it.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. I'm surprised that's your take. I'm surprised that's your opinion.
Hey.
As long as it's a 5 plus 11 you're okay with, not the 4 auto bids.
Yeah, I'm okay. I like the 5 plus 11. I mean, you got to look at these, you know, the conference. I would like to see all the conferences play the same amount of conference games. That would be an equalizer for me. But, I mean, the Big Ten, that was their plan, and then we looked for reasoning, and we don't hear from them, you know? And then Sankey's doing his media day, and he's, you know, this wasn't my plan. It was the Big Ten. So, obviously, plenty to iron out, but I'm fired up for this year. It's wide open, just like this College World Series. Yep. College football is there for the taking this year, man.
You mentioned the podcast. You can listen to it with Scott Van Pelt. It's the SV Pod, and also on SportsCenter covering the NBA Finals. Steve, that was great. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
You got it. A-.
B+.
Up next, weekend takeaways in the betting world. People have made a big deal out of this since yesterday, but I have a serious question about it.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Welcome back. Coming up top of the hour, we have game 3 numbers to go over. In the NBA Finals, series prices as well. Neither team has been great in the spot. Details on that coming up here. New weekly feature, weekly betting takeaways over the weekend anyway. Number one for me, Paulie, is a question here. How many books tweeted out yesterday, you know, Alcaraz was 60 or 65 to win, to one, to come back and win the French Open? A lot of them. It's all I saw on my timeline. And I would flip it and then ask the question, well, how many people in the world actually had the ability to get down on that or actually noticed at the right time, hey, 65-1 right now, I need to make that bet, because sportsbooks have real-time feeds from sporting events. Like, as it's happening, that's what you're looking at on your phone or on your tablet or however you're betting. Like, they're connected and dialed in to the second. Most bettors are probably, I'm going to throw out a bunch of numbers here, 7 seconds behind. 13, might be 30, 60, could be 90, depending on how you're watching. And tennis doesn't really have that much downtime, specifically yesterday when it was triple championship point and Sinner had a chance to finish him off. So my whole point is, yeah, he was 65-1. That's great. But when you're watching it on TV, you know, some people have figured out real-time feeds probably. Mm-hmm. You know, and those people bet a lot of money is my guess. And they have good connections and huge networks of people that they do this stuff with. But as you're watching, you're thinking, oh, okay, now I see a pulse here with Carlos Alcaraz to come back and win this thing. Let me go bet him. What is he live? But it's not going to be 65-1 because by the time you're watching it on TV to the point of where you want to make a bet, the sportsbook's going to be 90 seconds ahead of you. And that 65-1 is going to be long gone. So, yes, they were making a big deal out of it. My only question is, at the very rock bottom for him yesterday, how many people across the entire world actually bet him at his highest number? My guess is not many at all.
Fair.
Yeah. So it was official, I think it was last Friday and into the weekend, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed the deal there. I think we talked about this off the air. I want to bring it up on the air. I got a text from a buddy of mine in Minneapolis. And he said, assuming the Rodgers news is true, is there any doubt that he and the Vikings had an agreement that basically said, let's see how McCarthy looks in OTAs and we can make a decision from there? And I responded by asking him, don't you think that they probably knew that he was in pretty good shape before this? And then he said, well, they know a lot more now after 1 week working with the ones in OTAs than they did like 2 weeks ago. So I think he's maybe onto something here. And based on the team that they brought back and the guy that they have at head coach and what he was able to do with Sam Darnold last year when they won 14 games,
it's a bet on O'Connell.
That's exactly right. Don't you think 8.5 looks pretty damn juicy for a win total?
Well, he has a point. I mean, the timing works out with his assessment about, you know, hey, the kid looks great now. He finally announces it on Friday that he'll sign with the Steelers after the reports about McCarthy, the glowing reviews.
The problem is their schedule is top five hardest in the entire league.
It's a brutal division, too.
Oh, it's just, I mean, and they play the AFC North.
Yeah.
So, but I think, I mean, all things considered here, I think he's going to be good, J.J. McCarthy. And 8.5 seems like a pretty small number for a coach that seems to do whatever he wants with these quarterbacks. Whoever he brings in, he can make it work. If there was only, I thought about this watching Paul Skeens over the weekend. Poor guy can't pick up a win no matter how good he is. But if there, now he's minus 190 to win that award. He was plus 240 last week. He's minus 190. Scooble's at minus 175. If there was only one Cy Young given out every single year, I wonder what Scooble would be this second to beat Paul Skeens, or if both pitchers were in the same league. And with that thought process, it kind of makes me want to bet Paul Skeens to win the award. Although the plus 240 certainly looks a hell of a lot more attractive than minus 180. And I'm saying this because if they only gave out one Cy Young, what, Scuba would be, what, even money? Skeens would be plus 120 in that range? If Scuba would not be that big of a favorite over him. And then when you look at the rest of the National League, Zach Wheeler goes tonight. Can't knock him. Guy's unbelievable. He can certainly win this award.
Mm-hmm.
If Paul Skeens stays healthy, like how many other guys are going to have the goods to overtake him? He's getting better every single start. And I'm not going to call him the best pitcher in baseball because Scooble has that crown right now. But Skeens isn't very far behind him. Okay, I've asked this question earlier in the show. I'll ask it again. Should we all be betting Brad Marchand to win the Conn Smythe? Or do we pass because it's an overreaction, but then we hate ourselves if he wins?
Well, do you have Bob already and Bennett?
I have Bennett in pocket.
Yeah, and you can protect yourself, I guess.
I'm fading Bob.
I think he's too. I don't agree with the line move.
Okay.
I don't agree with the adjustment from down to 30, then down to 18, and on and on and on. Oh, he was great. He had two goals in the game winner, which was a soft goal. But I still have my pecking order: Bennett, and then Bob. They have Barkov ahead of him too.
I know.
So.
Okay, so don't bet him right now. 20-1.
No.
Okay. You and I were playing in the Greg Maddux Celebrity Poker Tournament last night here at Circa Legacy Club. It was awesome. You ran into the crime dog, Fred McGriff.
Yes.
I was
it was
a little
incredible
bit
to see the Vince Coleman, crime dog. I was at the same table for a couple. Again, I got knocked out. I had an open-ended straight flush draw. Son of, I would have tripled up. So I played a couple of hands with Greg Maddux. It was great.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was at the same table.
Oh, very nice. Okay, very cool.
Table.
I got knocked out in the same hand that Derek Stevens got knocked out. I made, I think, the final 20 or 23 people or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
And you did not.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, I was down to the 25, something like that.
You got knocked out about how long after I did?
It was so fast, Paul.
They didn't have that many.
I was down to the final 25, yeah.
I would have been in business there. I would have tripled up.
And Bob, who's a VSIN, loves VSIN. I got to get a beer with you, Bob, sometime. Great dude. Loves the show. He knocked me out. He had two pair. I believe he drew the deuce on the flop. I went in with king high, and we each had kings. But if he doesn't draw that deuce, I would have beat him, and I would have also taken down Derek Stevens. At that point, I must have been like top 10 in chips. I would have had a real chance.
Oh, wow.
It was a massive hand. I lost it, though. But I will say this, and you can probably say this about any game that you want. Boy, does poker completely suck when you're not getting any cards whatsoever.
What'd you think of the turbo format? Every 10 minutes, the blinds go up.
And I thought it was faster than 10 minutes for some of them.
The levels, yeah, 10-minute levels. It's incredible.
You might only like get that. One hand in at like 1,000, 2,000 for the blinds.
By the time I got knocked out, the blinds were 10,000, 20,000.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Weekend observations, shots on goal, prop where it's at with the Stanley Cup final. Rich from Canada, 576-1 parlay.
Oh.
Missed it because Bennett couldn't get a single shot in the second or third period. It was a regulation bet that he made. He needed one more shot and couldn't get it. I mentioned Kane as well, but you can do your own same game parlays also. The swings in play in tennis are nuts. Forget about what Alcaraz and Sinner got involved with. How about the women's on Saturday? Sabalenka was broken 9 times.
Mm.
So you think she's in control. Oh, now it's Goff. And the 70 unforced errors to 30. In favor of Coco as well.
Do you have a problem of when Sabalenka basically did not give Coco Gauff any credit?
Was it afterwards on the mic, or you're saying?
In the talking to the media, I think.
She said, yeah, she just said, I played the worst final ever.
Yes.
I had the conditions were terrible. She did say something, though, about Coco, you outplayed me, but
yeah,
deserve it. But
she
was
basically
more
said, I lost the match.
Yeah. She's
more
a
than
fire.
Anything else.
She's a firecracker. She's a pistol. I mean, she's yelling at everybody. Every time there's a mistake, you know, hitting the ball, and then that's a tough scene, though, where it's, hey, you just lost and had your gut ripped out, and you think you blew it. And now say
hey,
something.
Here's
to
the mic.
She's crying, too. I know. And the other one, we are headed to a wide-open College World Series. If Murray State wins tonight, there are 7 different conferences represented of the 8 teams.
They were 700-1 when the tournament got underway.
Oh, that's something. You believe this?
No, it's incredible.
The upsets? And
only 2 SEC teams?
Yeah.
Like Coastal Carolina swept Auburn.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
Some of these other results are just
North Carolina. That's a
how about
shocker.
That?
To win 18-2, your top 5 team, and you lose.
And everybody's saying that Arizona, I mean, total flash in the pan, they're not going to last.
Yep.
They pounded them in the first game, and then Arizona comes back to take the next 2.
If you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out XCUTTA. XCUTTA. The future of how we play. It's like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini book with your crew, and it's fun. Here's the hookup. Email support@xcutta.com, mention VSiN, and you get a special 3-month player code to get started. XCUTTA. Future wagering just got a serious upgrade. XCUTTA.com.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Boy, somebody's hanging on to a massive ticket on Sam Bennett to win the Conn Smythe. We'll tell you about that. And game 3 numbers in the NBA Finals. OKC has been horrendous in the spot throughout the playoffs.